the rest of the story. 12 time zones. Half the entire world separated Captain Luther from his bride Alma and the newborn son that he had never seen. So until the captain was ordered home again, the young couple would have to love each other through letters. Every 2 weeks, a Marine chopper would plunge into the jungle, delivering cigarettes and paperback books and mail. Luther lived for the sight of that helicopter because Alma's latest love letters were always on board. In them, Luther's wife faithfully declared all of the things a young soldier far from home wants to hear, reassurances of her affection and devotion, reports of the health and the happiness of the family, and just as faithfully, Luther wrote back. This Vietnam was a strange and troubled place, he related. But he personally was fine, just fine. He had even taught his new Vietnamese friends some country and western songs. And, oh yes, I love you. And so it went as the months trudged on. Yet neither Luther nor Alma realized the rest of the story. For what the young captain did not say in his letters was that he was almost daily in the line of fire, either encamped with the Kong lobbing mortar shells at him or patrolling the remote mountains and valleys and swamps and jungles where the enemy lay in wait. They ambushed practically every morning before dawn, engaged the patrols in random firefights by day and night. Landmines and booby traps lurked everywhere. And aside from the VC, there were bloodthirsty leeches that dropped from the trees and sword-sharp elephant grass that would slice human flesh. And from moment to moment, disease and exhaustion and monotony and terror played tag in the mud and the blood called Southeast Asia. But why worry Alma in his letters, Luther asked himself. For in 1963, most Americans knew nothing about Vietnam beyond what they learned from family or friends in the service. It would be better then, the captain decided, that his bride did not fret over something she could not change. Meanwhile, back in Alma's hometown, Birmingham, Alabama, another kind of war had erupted. The city had seemed quiet enough last time Luther saw it, but now race hate was exploding in Birmingham streets and hearts. Bombs rocked black neighborhoods by the dozens. Demonstrators for and against integration marched by the thousands. In the torrent of confrontations, children were attacked by police dogs and blasted off their feet by high-pressure hoses. Picketers were arrested. Even Martin Luther King was behind bars in Birmingham. And yet even though newlywed Alma lived in the midst of it, the war front that her home front had become went unreported in her letters to her husband Luther. Insulated by his own circumstances, he knew nothing of Birmingham's civil strife. Nor, without Alma telling him, could he have known that drive-by shooters had fired at next-door neighbors while his young wife hung diapers on the clothesline. And thus did simultaneous wars pass for a young couple 3 decades ago, with each protecting the other from unalterable anguish. They remained an unusually close couple, as they do to this day, all who know them say. And with this glimpse of their regard for each other, one can imagine why love endures. For two lovers who in hell spoke only of heaven, and who cling to each other even yet, Alma Johnson and the young captain who became retired General Colin Luther Powell. Now you know the rest of the story.